Hello, everybody. Mark Carlson here, SNEA Technical Council Co-Chair. Welcome to the STC Podcast. Every week, the STC Podcast presents important technical topics to the storage developer community. Each episode is hand-selected by the SNEA Technical Council from the presentations at our annual Storage Developer Conference. The link to the slides is available in the show notes at snea.org/podcasts. You are listening to STC Podcast, episode 132.
So what we're covering in this session is a continuation of what we talked about earlier, but I was really just going to focus in and talk in a lot more detail about some of the things that we've added this year. It'll be interesting to see how long this actually goes because I have not timed it. I just put all the material together. So it could either be really short or way long. Anyway, so let's just... Disclaimer slide. So, again, by now, if you're here, you hopefully have a pretty good idea of what Swordfish is. And so we're just going to dig in. We've talked about this a little earlier. This is the same slide I presented earlier. Is there anybody that didn't see this already? Okay. I'm really mostly going to be focusing on this 2019 section here, which is, you know, what is the stuff we added? You know, the stuff I almost forgot to talk about in the previous session. But really talking about, you know, where we closed the gap, how we change the functionality in there. What is all the functionality that actually went in to Swordfish v1.1, which I think I actually even forgot to say, is all of the new functionality that went in this year, the bulk of it went into the release, was posted August 22nd. It's actually Swordfish v1.1.0. Everything we've done before that was v1.0.x. So we actually rolled the minor version of the bundles, because we viewed this was a significant enough change in functionality, both from the functionality we released as well as adding the features and profiles and everything to support that. So that release has been out a whole 3 weeks now. So we've had so much feedback. anyway, let me dig into that a little bit. There are actually a couple of other presentations that will go into the webcast and things that out on profiles and some of the other stuff that do go into some other aspects. Okay, so what else did we add? We talked about the supported features. We talked about the functionality. We added consistency groups. And I've said this a couple, three times, but this is actually pretty important. We had storage groups and consistency groups running dual duty, and that was incredibly confusing. So we split this out, and we now just have consistency groups. The next thing we added was replication functionality explicitly into both volumes and consistency groups. They're exactly the same set of functions, but there's six different ways to do replication. We had replication built in, but it's built in as part of class of service. There was only one explicit control in that. So you can basically configure, tell the system what data protection capabilities you want, or you can say, okay, in addition to that, create a replica right now. But when you don't have a system that doesn't require class of service, replication becomes a little bit more important, just have the configuration controls on that. So this is an area that Chris Leonetti over here helped out quite extensively with. Thank you, Chris. And we added in these six and these are all structured as actions, which, going back to Jeff's talk earlier this morning, actions are use post, but they're a little bit different than a regular post. So assign and create are two variants of, you know, creating a replica. One uses an existing volume or consistency group, and the other one says, no, use new space. And then the rest of these next three are all about, well, remove and reverse are, you know, all about, are about, well, remove is delete the relationship, not necessarily the object. Resume replication, resume and suspend are pretty obvious, right? They're mirror pair, suspend, and then you have reversing the relationship, which works for some kinds of replication. Is if you have a source target and you want to reverse those the ordering of that and switch who's source and who's target. Now, obviously, not every system is going to be able to support all of this. This is kind of intended to be the superset. So those are all of the replication capabilities. We also significantly expanded the volume schema. I'm going to contradict myself a little bit from what I said earlier, which is that we're trying to keep the schema relatively simple and straightforward, and keep everything very client-centric. We added a lot to the volume schema. Like I think there were 14 new properties that went in addition to the six actions, in addition to a couple of new collections. So it got significantly bigger, but I will, actually say that the bulk of those requests did come in from a client perspective. They did not come in with a vendor saying, I want to expose this property. They came in from saying a vendor, if they did come in from a vendor, they came in from a vendor saying, I want to expose this because my clients want to see, my users want to see it in our client application. We also had some kind of interesting use cases come in driving, from the RSD side on the client side coming in and driving, exposing, journaling interfaces and things that are a little, much different use cases than any of the external storage folks in the room were used to. So we spent some time, getting interfaces exposed to match some of those. Okay, and then I also mentioned earlier, we've expanded the user's guide quite a bit, so we've added use cases that show you everywhere from how do I create a volume or a storage pool, volumes from here's the redfish, here's the swordfish, here's swordfish with class of service, storage pools. Here's how I do this. Here's how I, create it in with and without class of service. The other thing we do is the user's guide is also now sorted by feature. So we have, the dozen features in there, and you can see the whole thing. You can go actually see which use case corresponds to which feature. Okay, so the other thing that's been happening is the Swordfish ecosystem in general has been expanding. So this slide is one that the Redfish community has been using quite a bit. So there's really kind of four phases in the evolution of a standard. There's the describe, which is, developing the standard itself. Prescribe, which is how do we want to use that? Implementations, and then test conformance. So these are just some of the partners and, who falls into some of these various categories. So, obviously DMTF and SNIA have been the ones writing the specifications, doing the description. And then you get folks where we're partnering with and working with these other industry consortiums like the Open Compute Project, ODCC, OpenSDS, as they work on how they, a prescriptive view of what parts of the standards they want to use. And then you actually start to see implementations come out in not just from the vendors, but in other partners as well. So we have implementations we have a lot of open source space. We have tools. We have a lot of work that we've been doing to expand the ecosystem, but there's also partnering with other groups there. And then we have, and we mentioned this earlier as well, tools and all of this work is also happening in the open source space. Tools and frameworks being developed and programs being developed to help test conformance to that, to also help accelerate adoption. Okay. So we've seen this before. What I wanted to do was kind of just circle back as to, where all the new pieces were. And then we'll dig down into those into a little bit more detail, right? We have, here's the storage view. You know, what did we really add? So when you have redfish, you know, the volumes are in the collections here. I actually talked about this. You know, these are this is where the new stuff actually got added. In version 1.0.x of Swordfish, everything in the Swordfish schema, the pools, groups, consistency groups, and everything attached exclusively off of storage services. So what we did in 1.1, and that, you know, obviously is very tightly linked to the class of service functionality. So in making that functionality optional, we had to attach those things someplace else. So we hit two birds with one stone here. By moving it up here and connecting it, we both made it optional and closed the gap with the redfish storage. So I already described earlier how, you know, you basically take the volumes, you move from, going from in the redfish model, posting to a volume collection to when you add storage pools, now you switch, you post to the storage pools, you work from there. So this is where we made the bulk of those changes. We dropped out that link between the storage and volume. That's no longer the primary client link there. And we added all of these collections to the redfish storage schema. So you can see, you know, adding this back in, we maintain all that backward compatibility with the storage services and have the new links back up to the top. All right, so what else is new? The other things we talked about and the capabilities, the supported features, all of the features and profiles are new. We'll go into detail of those in a minute. Most of the bulk, rest of the functionality is not new. We've had all of that before. We added in being able to advertise define, you know, what the required functionality actually is. We did add two things here. One is we added the consistency groups. The other one was we added the optional elements. The elements themselves existed. They're just now optional. Okay. So into features and profiles. Does that end up? Yeah, it does end up big enough. Okay. So kind of keeping that whole life cycle in mind, it becomes really useful, especially when you start to bring in profiles, because they actually help you. They're the mechanism you use to both prescribe and test your functionality. So features, those are the high-level descriptions that an implementation can advertise that it supports using that feature registry. And so the profiles are the detailed descriptions that correspond to those features. What we've done, there's multiple ways you can do this. We could have combined them all into a single file, a single actual file. So the profile files, it's a ridiculous phrase, but I use it anyway because it's hard to come up with anything better. But the profile files themselves are also JSON formatted files. And in the first session this morning, Jeff talked about that a little bit. These specify in detail, and I'll show you all of the detail in a little bit, what are the required elements. So what are the required properties? What are the required values? What's optional? You know, so what we've done is basically said for each feature, I'll describe these and go through all of these in a little bit. For each feature, there is a profile file that corresponds to that. And the profile may have dependencies and things, but just to make things very clear, there's a one-to-one mapping. So if you want to look at our at a particular feature, you can go look at a single file to kind of see that. And so then from a client perspective, you can actually build up and say, you know, hey, I'll pick on Murali here, I'm VMware. We want to require that, you know, a Swordfish implementation has, you know, features X, Y, and Z. They must have discovery. They must have event notification. They must do basic provisioning. And that's the VMware client requirement. So that's actually how you would feed that into the cycle on the right. So you could actually, you know, just say, we're going to check and say this implementation advertises those things, but we want to make sure that they go through the Swordfish CTP verification program over here and actually, you know, can have and have verified, you know, conformance for the, you know, for those features in their implementation. So that, you know, that's where you kind of get that set of required profiles corresponds to those three features that feeds into our CTP certification program. And that implementation, you know, needs to run those tests. All of that is open source, or will be open source. It's all open source framework now. It's getting plugged together to become a cohesive system moving forward. Any questions on any of that? All right. Okay. So what are the actual profiles? This, rather than doing a list, since... And folks have been seeing my slides for a while, and you can tell I tend to do very text-based. You have pictures this time. So here's actually all of the profiles, all of the Swordfish profiles. Now, each one of these actually has a relatively simple definition that goes along with it. I will go through the discovery one in detail, so I'm not going to talk through that one. I'll give you more detail on that, but because it's got a little bit more to it. But so things like, let me grab the pointer again. Get the right end of the pointer. So IO performance, for example, there is a class called IO statistics, a schema called IO statistics that hangs off of about four different other schema. It hangs off of volume and storage pool, file system. I think it hangs off of storage service as well. So maybe four or five places. What this says is, the way this profile is defined, it says, if you have implemented, you know, if you have a one of those items, you must, and have implemented that, you have to do every single property. Right, so it's not a very complicated algorithm. It just says, if you implement it, if you want to advertise that, you have to implement this class and you have to do every property in them. It's pretty straight, pretty simple set of requirements. Pretty simple to test for too. So some of these other ones are pretty straightforward as well, like block provisioning. You see, there's a whole little hierarchy here that goes off of the provisioning ones. But block provisioning is, if there is a volume collection or volumes anywhere in the system, you have to be able to create and modify them. That sounds pretty simple when you go to explain it. It was a really ridiculously long argument that led up to that. But, you know, one of the things we did not do, at least for the initial implementations of all of these, was make them really complicated. We've actually deliberately left out, a whole slew of required properties on all of these things. Most of them have very simple definitions with them. There are a handful of places where we have required properties. So one of them is, as we talked about, and we'll get to I'll show the exact details of this in a minute. Like where we said Swordfish discovery, you need to be able to differentiate between a Redfish and a Swordfish implementation. There's a required property in there for that. But we don't basically go through and say, oh, yes, for, you know, every endpoint you have to have the name and the manufacturer and all of those things. If we get requirements coming back that say, you know, no, everyone really needs to do that. We really need to flush these things out more. We will do that. But what we wanted to do was really get a high-level set of functionality, base functionality, out with the assumption that implementations are going to populate a bunch of properties in these objects. And if we need to go back and, you know, get down to that level of detail, we will. Okay, so some of these other ones, just to kind of clarify, local and remote replication have very, very similar requirements. In fact, they're identical, except that you need to be able to differentiate a local fault domain from a remote fault domain. And so that's the only reason that those two things are separate, is you have to be able to differentiate your fault domains. That's as much from an implementation side as from a client side, although the client sides really also want to know that when they're setting up DR. So, you know, if you actually go look at those profiles, they have like two or three words different in the entire files. There may be a way to actually combine those two things together, but from my perspective, I was trying to just keep that one-to-one mapping I talked about. Okay, so mapping and masking. Again, block capacity management is also very simple. You need to be able to do basically expand the capacity of volumes or file systems, depending on whether it's block or file capacity management. So again, those profiles are very tiny, but they correspond to the target functionality. Okay, and then there were a couple of things over here that ended up specifically in the class, they have class of service and they're duplicated, which is the replication. That's actually because the replication works differently over there. So we had to, even though it's basically still advertising replication capabilities, the underlying schema requirements were radically different. So we ended up with different profiles for those. All right. So I think I've said a lot of the framework for this, but we haven't really described them yet. So when an implementation goes to advertise features, it advertises them through the features registry, and it advertises the list of supported features. These are the features it is currently able to support. That includes, you know, this set of properties, feature name, description, the version, and a pointer to the corresponding profile definition. This whole thing, for anybody who's really familiar with Redfish, is a derivation of the message registry. We leverage the message registry file concept so that we didn't have to reinvent anything around how we publish, how to find a profile, and where's a profile file, and, you know, do I have a local copy, or do I have, you know, am I using the one over there? Because the message registry file structure has all of that. So we're just kind of leveraging all of that completely rather than redefining it.
We apologize for calling the message registry file instead of just registry file.
Okay, and so this is, I'm not going through the entire how these things get published, because I thought about doing that, but that's basically just a complete duplication of a message registry presentation. And so if you actually go look at message registry, it's very similar. It's going to be very similar, except they're probably not going to be changing all the time. But you basically go register against a message register, or again, register to get, or you, it's more like you, it's not like messages where you're going to get notifications, it's more like you'll just go request against a set of resources. But this is basically how those various things we saw in the are described. So you'll end up with the snia.swordfish.discovery, the description, its version, and its profile, corresponding profile. And then there's entries in, I think this is, 1.02. And this is published out on dmtf.org/registry/swordfish for all 13 of those boxes on that previous slide. So if you want to advertise your own features, which this also fully enables, these are the standard features. If you have OEM dot better version of feature, you just create your own registry, export it, and say, yeah, sure, I support SNIA dot replication, but we also have, you know, best vendor ever dot replication. So clients will care about that one rather than just the SNIA version. So the features registry, we've actually had quite a bit of interest in. We created this for obviously for this purpose, but we've actually had several vendors interested in using this for a multitude of purposes. So going down a little bit into one of the profiles, just to kind of walk through this. I didn't talk about this one specifically, but I did point out these are really fairly straightforward. They're not super in-depth. I'm sure if you combine them all together, it would look a little bit more complicated. But the Swordfish discovery basically says, if you implement this sounds really obvious, but if you implement an object, you must support a GET on it and on all of its properties. Like, it's got to be readable. I know that sounds stupid, but we went ahead and specified it. And then we have a set of required properties. So most of them actually do have, something similar. So here we have, that first one we've talked about several times, right? The computer system hosting roles properties must be set to type store server. The other thing is you must have a volumes collection in storage. You must have a storage pools collection in storage. They don't actually have to have anything in them. And the reason we say that is for the initialization case. When you first initialize a system and, bring up a blank card from, doesn't have any volumes on it, that's perfectly fine. Doesn't have any storage pools created yet, that's perfectly fine. But those collections have to be there so that you can create the first one. It also must have a collection. This one gets a little bit more complicated in the wording. You must have a collection for storage media, right? So the difference you'll see here between the Redfish, the minimum requirements for Redfish, which was storage volume and drive, our minimum requirements here just add storage pools. Plus we add a little bit of flexibility around drives. Because we basically say, you gotta have some kind of media. And it could be a drives collection, and we allow that to actually be in a couple of different places. And then we also require that you populate the storage system collection in the service route. And that's it. That's as complicated as it gets for the discovery. And again, if we get pushback, we get clients coming in and saying that we can either create supplemental profiles that add on to that, or we can enhance the profiles. Okay, so I have a handful more slides that actually just kind of break this down. That should go through pretty fast. But the next three or four slides are basically just the profile that shows that actual profile written out. So here's the first one, just a bunch of headers, right? So this one here says, here's the registry. It pulls in that feature registry and says, this is the actual supported feature that is used or required or dealt with somehow in this file. So then we get into the set hosting roles property. was the first one on our list. So what this does is says in service root storage systems in the computer system, hosting roles must, it's conditional, this conditional requirements basically says this value must be set to, hosting roles must be set to storage server. Okay, and then here's just the collection of requirements for those, the collection of requirements for collections, the set of requirements for the collections. So we have requirements, again, in that service root that says, under computer system, that says, in storage, you must have a volumes collection. You now must have the storage pools collection. And where I was saying they don't have to have anything in them, that's where this members min count comes from. And then drives over here, there's not really good language. One of the things we're working on is one of the things that's missing in the language right now within the interoperability profile schema is the ability to compare two things that aren't really related, I mean, that aren't right next to each other in the schema. So if you have two properties inside the same schema, it's pretty easy to do. So right now, this is actually written out in the text. So it'll have to, when we go to create the test for it, it will have to be a hand-coded test. But we're working on trying to figure out how to actually expand the schema language to do what's actually written in the purpose there. So we can fix that. But for now, it's basically the intent is written there. But I haven't gone through in detail, but we have a structure inside the storage pool called capacity sources. And that's normally where you basically say, here's where all, you know, whatever media you're using for this. You can have pools of pools. You can have pools of volumes. You can have, well, you can have volumes of volumes. You can have volumes. So you can comprise pools hierarchically. You can have pools made of persistent memory. You can have memory chunks, all different types. If you want to just use that drives array that's in storage, you can do that. So those are all the different options you can have. And this basically says you just got to have some media somewhere. So it's a really, hopefully, not overly verbose way of saying that. Okay. There's also going to be in the profile this general set of requirements. So these things are basically like for any storage system collection in here's a set of property requirements. Again, these don't really have anything in them other than this one where I said in that original table, you must have at least one storage system collection. So that's effectively how, it's not everything that's in the profile languages. It's just the profile language can get a little bit more complicated, but we're trying to keep our profiles hopefully a little bit simpler so folks can actually understand them and pick up and adopt them pretty easily, relatively easily, and also so that we can develop the tests pretty easily. Okay, so time-wise, didn't do terrible. I think that was about it for the content. Where do we have questions? Questions involve what time's lunch? Yes. The question is it typically going to be one profile for feature or is it one or more? If I'm writing them, I'm going to try and keep it to one-to-one. But the profile language doesn't care. Yeah. So what Redfish has done, well, they're not using the features now, but they could. If I go back to here, one of the things that I was looking at when I was looking at for generating a for working with OCP, the OCP storage group needs to develop their processes. Basically, say they want to develop an OCP interoperability profile for storage. What I would look at doing there would be basically writing a single profile that says include Swordfish discovery, or requires Swordfish discovery and event notification, and maybe provision, maybe block provisioning. That's whether that's up for debate in the group or not. Pick two or three of these in there, so they would technically have one one profile, but is pulling in like three or four of our profiles.
Would it be a copy and paste of text or written reference?
It would. There's, I didn't have it in my examples here, but there is a. It would reference, and it would use a feature in here that is basically it's an equivalent of an include. Well, it's not really an include. It's a requires. Maybe it's in here.
Requires another profile.
Yes, required profiles. This one doesn't have it because this is our base profile. But all of the rest of our profiles correspond to the arrows in that tree. So every other profile includes... not all of them. Most of the other profiles include SNIA.discovery. If they go down two levels in the hierarchy, I didn't. I just included the one above it because it already included SNIA.discovery or Swordfish discovery.
So you're seeing the OCP version is just to cherry pick profiles?
Yeah. Instead of rewriting everything from scratch. And anyway, so that's a proposal I put out to them. We'll see how that goes. I don't see why they would want to rewrite something else from scratch. The only reason I could see for that would be, and the reason I actually like that model is because if they decide they have some additional properties, then we could put that in the OCP specific thing. But I think so I'm kind of circling back a little bit to Don's question about, is it one or multiple? That actually ends up being, from their perspective, it's kind of both. They end up with one. It's actually referencing our profile. Yes, it's a chain. It ends up referencing our profiles. Yes. But and then they could actually declare a new advertised feature, which is conformance to the OCP profile, in addition to advertising all of the Swordfish profile features there, too. Any other questions, or would folks like lunch? All right, thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions about the material presented in this podcast, be sure and join our developers mailing list by sending an email to developers-subscribe@snia.org. Here you can ask questions and discuss this topic further with your peers in the storage developer community. For additional information about the Storage Developer Conference, visit www.storagedeveloper.org.